we start worshipping this morning, we are going to have a bit of time just to reflect on how people close to Jesus would have maybe felt at this point in the day before they heard the good news that was to come. So we've got three lovely readers coming up to do that. Thank you, Carl.
The fisherman. I didn't know what to do this morning, so I thought I'd come down here and mend some nets. There are always nets that need mending, and these have been neglected for far too long. I was at this beach when we met him, me and my brother. Andrew saw him first and nudged me. I'd just cast the net from the boat, so looked over my shoulder. He was there, standing quietly by the shore, watching. He had an intensity about him I'd never seen in anybody else. It felt like the whole world was focused on him right then. The birds sang for him, the sheep and the goats marveled at him, and the sun just shone for him. "Who's that?" said Andrew. "Dunno," I said. But I knew at that instant I wanted to know him, to know who he was, where he was from, and why he was on the shore looking at us. You could see in his face, the way he looked, intently, that he knew me. He knew that I would follow him, that I would love him, that I would say I would die for him, and that I would fail him. I mean, what do? You see someone so unlike anyone you've ever seen before. When from a distance you feel a connection so strong, so immediate, that nothing you could say or think was ever going to be the same. Andrew saw it too. We hurried to pull in the nets and head to shore, desperate to hear him speak, to understand who he was, to know this stranger. We made our way back to shore, and he spoke. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That was then, and now I'm here mending nets. He knew I would let him down, deny him, and he still loved me. I wish I could tell him I loved him. I know who he is.
The woman. I thought that I could this morning. Yesterday, I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like it today either, but then we must eat. That's what he would have wanted, for us to carry on cooking, carry on eating, carry on feeding the people who need it. I knew that he would go. He told us so. He told us that he needed to be with his Father in heaven, and that we needed to carry on. He went so meekly and just accepting them for who they were. Soldiers on duty, a governor with no real power. Priests who had lost their way. He knew who they were and he accepted them. Just like he accepted me, a woman with no husband and no family. When we met, he knew me. Like he knew everyone and still loved me. He loved everyone he met. He loved the tax collectors, the old, the weak, and the sinners. He accepted us all because he knew us. He knew us deep down in our souls. His first words to me were, "Your brother will rise again." And I knew he would, as we all would. But no, he meant he'd rise again that day. Lazarus, my brother, still and dead, but he rose that day. I knew he was the Messiah, the Son of God who had come into the world. When they took him down off the cross, body, that wasn't him. We bathed it and wrapped it and lay it down in the tomb, But the body, that wasn't him. He was still here, still in my heart, and still alive. We'll go back today to finish tending him, but right now, I need him more than I have ever needed him. I know him, and he knew me.
The mother. I don't know if I really knew him at all. He was a gift from God. I carried him all those years ago, fed him, bathed him, and loved him. He loved me with an intensity that was hard to understand. He had God with him and on him. Such a wonderful child, caring, compassionate, helpful, and always there when you needed him. His father, Joseph, loved to have him in the workshop. They were both such wonderful carpenters, laughing and joking as they toiled away. Never a cross word, he learned so quickly. They were a great team. I wish Joseph had seen the man he became when he left home to start his journey. The man who loved everyone with a passion and a care that went beyond what was possible for a mere man. The healer, the teacher, the traveler, the fisher of men's hearts, a fisher of men's souls. He reached out and they understood. He followed. They knew him as he knew them. The man whom people followed just because he asked. I saw him on that last day. I saw him battered and bruised, bloody and tired. He knew that I would come, but he still went. As he was dragged to the hill, they whipped him, mocked him, spat at him, but he forgave them. He knew them in their hearts, and he forgave them. He looked at me and my sister Mary. I saw the pain in his eyes as he recognized us. Not pain from his wounds, but the wound he was causing for us. He spoke. One last time, struggling for breath, dragged along as he said it. Woman, here is your son. Then to John, here is your mother. I knew then who he was.
So it's Sunday morning. Nobody knows what's going to happen next. Everybody's confused. Everybody's sad. They knew who he was, but and the microphone's gone. I'm just going to read something to us that helps to put what's happening here into context. And then we're going to have one more morning story as we go into worship. Can we have the reading up on the screen? Because I haven't got it anywhere else. So this is Romans 5, 6 to 11. Christ died for us when we were unable to help ourselves. We were living against God, but at just the right time, Christ died for us. Very few people will die to save the life of someone else, even if it's for a good person. Someone might be willing to die for an especially good person, but Christ died for us, for we were sinners, and by this God showed how much he loves us. We have been made right with God by the blood sacrifice of Christ. So through Christ, we will surely be saved from God's anger. I mean that while we were God's enemies, he made friends with us through his son's death. And the fact that we are now God's friends makes it even more certain that he will save us through his son's life. And not only will we be saved, but we also rejoice right now in what God has done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of Jesus that we are now God's friends. And that is what we're here to celebrate this morning. Have you ever felt like you don't have the full picture Like somehow you're missing something vital, an important piece of information, some sort of necessary experience, and that means you haven't got a clue what's going on and what you're meant to be doing next. I felt a bit like that this week. Esther's been in a show with her stage school. She's needed her hair and makeup done. This is not my area of expertise, in case you couldn't tell. And I tried watching YouTube tutorials and stuff like that. I couldn't work it out. I couldn't see how to go from Esther's hair in a ponytail, which is just about my limits of hair, to Esther's hair in a perfect, neat bun. It left me feeling a bit like this person. I found this on the internet and it made me laugh, who asked for some advice on how to draw a rose. I don't know if it's going to come up. Is it there, Peter? It's a slide with a picture of how to draw a rose. It looks like, yeah, there we go. Hang on. Here we are. No, not that. That's not how to draw a rose. That really would leave you confused, wouldn't it? So they asked, how do I draw a rose? And someone said, draw a lettuce and paint it red. They said, and you're welcome. And they said, okay, but how do I draw a lettuce? They said, well, draw a rose and paint it green. So yeah, that's really helpful, isn't it? Sometimes you just don't have all the information that you need to kind of get where you want to go. They were left without what they needed. They didn't have the full picture. And we have been thinking a bit this morning about people who at the time of Jesus's death, those around him, they didn't have the full picture. They were confused. They were lost. They were sad. They were scared because they didn't know exactly what was going on. Some of them had been really close to Jesus. He'd even told them what was going to happen, but somehow they hadn't kind of put all the information together properly and they were missing something. And when that Sunday morning came, they couldn't see what was going to happen next. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They thought that was kind of the end. And they were like, well, now what? But fortunately, as we know, that wasn't the end. That what we saw with Aslan, wasn't it? It wasn't the end. That's the reason that we're celebrating today, because we know we have that piece of information that Jesus rose again. And it was all part of God's amazing kind of plan, that plan that we heard about in the reading to make us friends with God. It's a huge picture of love and friendship and rescue that started right back at the beginning when God created the world. And it won't actually be fully complete, that picture, until Jesus comes back again. You might have heard the saying, it's not over until the fat lady sings, which I think is about opera. I might be wrong, I'm not that cultured, but I think it's about opera. Martin's nodding, Martin is cultured, it's about opera. We'll go with that. But this morning, I want to say it's not over until the lion roars, until Jesus declares that victory. It's not over for us until the lion roars. And I'm really thankful that God has got the full picture and that he knows what's going on and how it's all going to end, because that's really encouraging. When there are situations in my life that seem dead and hopeless, and I'm feeling confused and lost and sad and scared, like Jesus's friends and followers after he died, like Lucy and Susan in the Chronicles of Narnia, I can remember that this is only part of the picture. God has got the bigger plan in his mind, and it's not the end. He brings life and hope into dark places. And in the end, because of what Jesus did through his death and resurrection, we're going to get to spend eternity with Jesus and with God in a place where there is, as Matthew said, no more pain, no more suffering, no more crying, no more sickness, and even death itself has been defeated. How awesome is our God. How incredible is he? And that is the hope that I want to take with me this Easter, that God has got the full picture, that he knows what's going on and we can trust him. And the end is when the lion roars. If we haven't got to that bit, it's not over. Don't give up hope. And Jan was just telling me a minute ago that the Ukrainians, they like to remind themselves of this truth of the power of Jesus's resurrection and kind of the encouragement of it by saying as a greeting to each other, is this right? Every time they see someone, they will say through the week, each day through this next week, that Christ is risen 3 times. I got that right? So yeah, just kind of carry that kind of constant reminder. If you see someone, just remind them, it's not over yet. Christ is risen. There is hope. All this next week and beyond, that is what we're looking forward to. The promise that God has got the full picture and it's good. It's glorious. It's heavenly. So yeah.